this happy place, welcome.
Welcome aboard Disney's Magical Express.
Flying on the back of this powerful animal called Ikra, or as we call it, a banshee.
That's where it fell.
Tonight's story on the Twilight Zone is somewhat unique and calls for a different kind of introduction.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Mountains and Monorails. I am your host, as always, Cody Owen. Kinsey is not with us today because I am sitting down to talk about another bros trip to Disney. Today I am joined by Braden Taylor, Peter DiNicola to talk about our voyage on the Galactic Star Cruiser. Guys, thanks for coming to sit around the nice round table with me to talk about the trip.
No problem. Happy to be here.
Yeah, so we were on, I think it's very important that we flex on people so that they know, we were on the very first non-media, real passengers Star Cruiser trip at Disney World.
Yeah, I think that probably colors our experience of it a little bit.
Yeah.
But we'll get into that later, but it was a great time for all of us, I know. I think it was sort of like a dream come true, and this was when all the press coverage was going on about how the Galactic Star Cruiser was going to fail and all of that was happening.
And right. I particularly enjoyed all of the articles that were like, what kind of moron would pay to do this? And I was like, well, I did.
Me, I paid for this. It's great.
So we connected with our friend Andrea from Mouse Counselors and got her to hang out on the phone for us for several hours to book the trip.
Shout out to Andrea.
Yes. If you need help booking a Disney trip, you can always reach Andrea via the Mouse Counselors website. So we get the trip booked like several months out. I'm assuming that if you're listening to this, it's because you're thinking about a trip on the Star Cruiser or you're just like a diehard fan of the podcast. Either way, welcome. But I'm going to assume anyone listening has the general idea that it is a cruise ship, but on land for Star Wars. You go into the bunker box for 2 days and you emerge at the end.
Listen, it's a spaceship and no one can tell me otherwise.
Yeah, we took a shuttle up.
Yeah. I think that's another one of the big things is that people didn't quite understand what it was. They were like, oh, it's 2 nights at a hotel for how much money?
Yeah.
And what do you mean? There's no windows?
Yeah, no windows,
Where's
no
the
light.
Pool?
Yeah. So, you know, right away, it's like, it's not a hotel. I mean, it is a hotel. You do sleep there, but it's not, you're going to this hotel and that's how you're going to explore Disney. If you're going to the Star Cruiser, that's what you're doing for those 2 days.
Yes. Yeah. Your admission to Hollywood Studios does get you into the whole rest of the park. They will let you wander off, but you shouldn't.
No.
No, I think when we went to Hollywood Studios that day, we were in a rush to get back because it was like, what are we missing on the ship?
Yeah, things could be happening. So I want to kind of go through things in a little bit of chronological order. Once we get to the ship, I think we'll kind of lose all continuity because it's all a blur for me. But just ahead of our cruise, we got access to the store where we could buy costumes and things. And I think we all bought a little bit different stuff. But there was everything from, you know, dress kind of like a Jedi to dress like a senator to dress like an engineer here to get some work done.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know Peter bought the, I didn't look up what the product names were, but the big green robe that makes you look like a senator from Naboo.
Yeah, it was the Bail Organa jacket. So it's a senator from Alderaan, Cody. Yeah.
Okay, well, at the point in the timeline where the story takes place.
I know, it is memorializing all of those people who were lost on Alderaan.
Oh, okay, never forget.
Never forget.
Okay, and Braden picked up the...
Picked up the Jedi robe, or the Jedi-like robe, and then I also picked up the like formal wear. So had that for nice dinners later on in the Star Cruiser. It was great.
Yeah. And then I already had the like Jedi inner tunic situation from Galaxy's Edge. And then I also picked up the formal wear. So I think like overall the quality of the costumes is pretty good for costumes. They're not like necessarily everyday wear quality, but they are like it's not going to fall apart the first time you wear it. It's not like a Party City costume.
I've worn them several times since to a Star Wars Symphony and Halloween, et cetera. And they do hold up. The quality is pretty good. You know, if you did want to keep them around, you'd probably want to replace some of the fasteners. But, you know, not too much of an expense if you are really interested in it.
Yeah, I haven't had too much reason to rewear my giant jacket with metal bracers on it. But it's nice to know that I have the option.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then we flew in together. We took an Uber to the Star Cruiser. And I've not seen a lot of content around the arrival period. This was maybe the worst part logistically. We ended up in a long line of cabs and Ubers and whatever else trying to get into property. It's just kind of like backs up. There's a whole road that runs out to one of the highways. I don't remember which one it is. And we were just kind of like sitting on it, waiting to get in. You're pulling up to a big gray bunker that has a sign out front that says Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser. But the idea is that you're getting to a launch port. I think that a way that they could have sold this effect a little bit better is to have a spaceship outside sitting there, like a shuttle that's going to take you up, or just like sticking out of the top of the building like a rocket.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That would have been pretty cool. I know our Lyft driver was very confused about where we were going when we were going there.
And you guys going to be safe here?
I wonder if some of that is that we were the first public weekend, and so some of that's been fixed or improved since then. I know you're talking about like structure, building, like something on the building to indicate that like, hey, there's a spaceship taking off from here. But just logistically, I bet that there's some things that have improved since then.
Yeah, I think that they do more staggered arrival times.
Okay.
To try to have people arriving in little clusters of like five or six instead of everybody at once. I think there were supposed to be two waves when we were getting there. But I don't think anyone was like respecting the waves either. So,
well, and once we actually got there, that was actually one of the cooler like introductory things that happened, was just getting to be out in front, kind of waiting with this group of people to go on this experience for the first time. Most of us, if like there was a handful of people who were on the press tour and they did like two back to back, which was pretty great. But even they were helping to avoid spoilers. And just getting to be in this group of, as you referenced the article, morons who would come and do this thing, is like everybody's dressed up, everybody's doing like the Star Wars thing. And so it's like, you know, I it may be unique to that first experience, but it was really amazing just to be in that crowd of people going into this thing.
We lined up outside to wait to go into the launch center. And that took a minute to get checked in, which is why I think that they're doing the kind of wave arrival windows to make that run a little more smoothly now.
Right. And that's where security happened, which that was one of the cooler parts of the 3 days as well, was that once you went through security that one time, we had, what, one more set of security to go through the whole time? That was it?
I think probably on the trip into the actual park itself.
Like into the park itself, and that was all.
Yeah.
It was a really seamless experience.
Yeah, as soon as you get there, I mean, the concierge service is real nice, and you know, then all the pieces start to come together. And yeah, like you said, we kind of waited a long time initially to get in. Now our situation was probably unique, where when we were waiting for everyone, we got to talk to some podcasters, talk to a lot of people that I know Cody recognized. I didn't quite recognize them, but I said ooh and ah when they were pointed out to me.
Wow, Peter and I are starting a film podcast together at some point, and he did not recognize the founder and owner and chief editor of SlashFilm.com, Peter Serretta, who is also the co-host of Ordinary Adventures, who was in line directly ahead of us. It was very fun.
Yeah, they're really awesome.
It was also fun to be like, you know, I only sort of knew him from SlashFilm. I mostly knew him from watching Ordinary Adventures a whole bunch. And so it was fun to be like, oh, hey, that's Peter. Hi, Peter.
Hello, Cody.
No, yeah, thank you.
But well, I will say who I did recognize, or more accurately, I recognized the type of people were, there was a lot of good 501st folks there. Now, I'm in the Star Wars 501st, which if you don't know what that is the official Star Wars costuming community. And lots of great folks, but whenever you see normally a stormtrooper or someone like that out in the wild, Darth Vader, that's usually us, the 501st. So we got to see a couple of these people in full getup when we arrived. Saw a TIE pilot, a First Order TIE pilot. I myself was wearing an Imperial Pilot Reserve costume. And I think one of the interesting things we'll go into is that completely changed my experience of the entire trip.
Oh, yes. Yeah. It was really cool to watch, you know, just an Imperial pilot in full armor peel himself out of a minivan to get on board the Star Cruiser.
I've made that trip as a stormtrooper. It's not easy.
So one of the first things that happened when we checked in was we were actually handed a iPhone that served as our data pad for the entire trip.
And yeah, whoa, Brayden, they're data pads.
Yeah,
what's
yeah.
What's an iPhone?
I know. Well, as soon as we stepped through that, it was a data pad. But we got to give the people here on Earth some context, you know? It's like an iPhone. Like an iPhone. But
it's a data pad that runs iOS version 15.
Hopefully they've updated since then. Who knows? But it was really nice to be able to not have to rely on your phone and your connection to be able to use the Disney Play app and the data ad, excuse me, the data pad app, because it is really integral to the whole experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't want to get ahead of ourselves here, because getting into what the data pad did and how it assisted in the actual experience is so big.
Yes.
But yeah, needless to say, you know, once we actually got through security, we got checked in, our bags were, you know, told we'll see them later, that we'll see them in space. Then we took a shuttle. We took a shuttle, and I don't want to go too much into it because that experience was super cool.
Yeah.
Just like that feeling of leaving behind Earth. We're going somewhere else. We're going a completely different place. That was done really well. And once those doors opened and we were off the shuttle, I think then the experience was almost complete around us for the rest of the 2 days.
Yeah. Yeah. We did not leave Star Wars for
72 hours.
Yeah. I mean, we were locked in. We went into Hollywood Studios, but only into Batuu and fully in costume. It was one of those trips where, you know, a stranger might accidentally approach you and ask you for directions because they assume you're a cast member because you're so embedded in Batuu.
It felt different. It felt different going to Galaxy's Edge from the Star Cruiser than it did going normally. It felt like just an extension of the experience. And you really felt like you were caught up in this world, even more so than when you go normally. Because you always have the cast member directions. They're fantastic. They're always in character. But when you're coming from the Star Cruiser, you feel like you're part of the story.
Yes. And that's what the whole experience felt like, is that you're part of the story. And so when you walked in and you see the lobby, the gathering area of the Halcyon, it is like you're there.
Okay, so let's talk through the lobby, because it really is gorgeous and impressive.
It's amazing.
It's three stories high, you know, kind of feels like you're on the bulk of the height of the ship. So like going into a hotel lobby in a very fancy hotel where they want you to feel like how fancy it is. You walk in, there's columns, there's an upper deck that you like don't have access to, kind of like a balcony area. And then there are holograms running in the columns that are like super impressive.
Yeah, they're very impressive. They're encased in a tube, but they're some of the best hologram simulations that I've seen, except for one that I'll talk about later.
And then you see the aliens.
Yes. Yeah, what a perfect transition. Man, is Peter hosting this episode? So milling about during, it's kind of like a cocktail hour. They're bringing around little hors d'oeuvres, little drinks that you can sip on. I don't think the drinks weren't alcoholic though, right?
No.
Not yet.
Not yet.
That came later.
We're getting to the very expensive bar bill. So kind of milling about during this cocktail hour, there is the captain, who is a Pantoran.
Pantoran, yes.
Oh, I didn't say Pandoran, but I am enough of a Disney Parks nerd to, you know, accidentally call her a Pandoran.
Pantoran.
She is a Pantoran, as opposed to Pandora, the land of Avatar. Yeah, so she's in full, you know, it's her, I'm trying to think of the like Disney approved way to refer to this, but the actor who portrays Captain Keevan is obviously a human woman.
No, whoa. She's Pantoran. How dare you?
Hold on a second.
She is in full blue face paint, wearing uniform of the Halcyon and like yellow cat eye contacts.
It's impressive.
And this is the beginning of this, because this is not where it ends. Then we have, I'm trying to do it in order of how cool the effect was to me. So I think we all know where I'm building. But then we met, what was his name?
Sanjo,
who is a musician. He's there because
he's a Togruta.
We did hear on other trips he wasn't a Togruta, but I don't know how accurate that is.
I have seen photos.
Okay.
Not a Togruta, but it would not be Matt Pablo. So as a true Disney Parks nerd, I follow all of the actors from our voyage on Instagram. They swap roles.
Oh.
So I have seen the guy who was our Sammy, who is Sage Sarkey, who now works for All Ears and is offboarded from the Star Cruiser. He's filled in when someone was sick or something since then. But I have seen him as both Sammy and as the, what was the Imperial officer's name?
Oh.
Lieutenant something? Croy?
As Lieutenant Croy.
Lieutenant LaCroix. Yeah, so I have seen Sage Sarkey in clips playing both Sammy, the hero, and Lieutenant Croy, the Imperial guy who comes and takes over the ship.
That's so interesting because, like, from our experience, I can't imagine Croy being someone else. And I can't imagine Sammy being someone else.
I think we got everybody in their, like, best role. I think that that's, like, the A-team. And then the alternate casting was kind of the next tier.
Oh, okay. So on some voyages, Sandro, that's his name.
His name is not, in fact, Banjo. No.
But he does hold a space banjo for a lot of the time. The other species is Miri Allen. So that's fun.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So if you know what a Miri Allen is, you know what we're talking about.
But so you see Sandro. He's carrying his space banjo around. He's in. Ahsoka is a Togruta, right?
Yes.
Correct.
Yes. So if you have seen Ahsoka in maybe The Mandalorian or in Clone Wars, then you know what Sandro looks like, except he's a boy and has a space guitar that he's playing at every opportunity. So then I don't think we see Gaia at this point.
Not yet.
But we should talk about her next, because then I think we're building to my favorite alien.
Yeah, mine too.
Yeah, Gaia was really impressive. She's a Twi'lek or Twi'lek, depending on which part of the planet you're from. And really impressive overall.
So she's,
performance. The album is coming out soon, I believe.
Yeah, she is purple. Mm-hmm. And has the head? Oh, come on. You guys are my Star Wars encyclopedias.
I do know this. The Leku.
Yeah,
so her Leku are, you know, also there. Moving about as she's performing. She's the musical entertainment for the ship. And Sandro is there because he wants to meet her. He's, you know, somewhere between a groupie and a, like, hanger-on, where he's like, please, please listen to my music. You got to produce my album. You got to hear it. He's the kind of guy who hangs out outside the Star Wars metro station to hand you his hip-hop album.
His mixtape
has been made. He wants you to buy it. And then that leads us up to, just like bar none, the craziest alien costume on the ship. Wani, who is a Rodian, and just...
If you don't know what a Rodian is, that's Greedo from New Hope.
Yeah, that's who Han shoots in the cantina.
Does
he shoot him first?
Shot first.
Yeah. We're purists here on this podcast.
I don't know. My Blu-rays
look pretty great, don't they? Oh, but yeah, Wani.
I just closed my eyes.
Only speaks Huttese, which is amazing. She does not come with subtitles. And it's just really, really great. It's so, so great. Like the animatronics on it, like it's just phenomenal.
It's so convincing.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like you're meeting a Rodian. It's crazy. Her mouth moves when she talks.
I mean, it's 100% convincing. And it's, the fact is that you're not watching this on a TV show. You're not watching this after careful planning. This is improvisation.
Live, responsive interaction.
Yeah, and it's
to what you're doing. It's just, it's great.
And so to have a costume like this, where it's happening live, and the actor inside the costume is reacting, acting, it's amazing.
It's I mean, there's a measure of puppetry that's going on there, because she's making the costume move to interact with you.
So 100% convincing.
Yep.
So,
yeah. The other 100% convincing character is SK, which is our friendly astromech droid.
Yes.
I had some great interactions with SK.
Had some great interactions with the astromech droid.
Do you know, like, the Star Cruiser was so cool that I basically forgot SK existed.
SK was fantastic.
And he's a top tier interaction, but I just was so impressed by so many things that I forgot that he happened.
Yeah. So I had some great interactions with SK, and you know, if you know where to look carefully, you can see the person doing the animatronics standing off, but they're so well trained.
Oh, it's very hard to spot.
It's very hard to spot. Like, you have to intentionally
They're dressed
look,
as a guest.
And they're dressed as a guest. They're in character the whole time. Often they're operating the animatronic controls behind their back.
Yeah.
So when you're facing the droid, you cannot actually see the controls. It is really impressive. And so the droid becomes responsive, and it's phenomenal.
And I want to be clear, I did not see this person, because I am a simpleton who is just like smoke and mirrors. I'm immediately like, it's magic. Magic is happening right now. Mm-hmm. If you had told me there were cameras inside SK and someone was remotely operating him from another room, I would have 100% believed it.
So we have this cast of characters.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
we got to talk about Sammy, though.
Oh, well, Sammy is fantastic.
Sammy's the greatest. He's a human. So
we didn't really talk about human characters.
Yeah, we have a bunch of humans, too.
Yeah.
And they're all awesome. They're just not as immediately visually impressive as...
Correct. They're just humans, you know, like we are.
I've seen those before.
Yeah, I have seen a human or two in my day. But, yeah, so it's a great cast. Sammy's this young engineer. Well, there's more to his story, but we won't go into that, I don't think, right? He's young, he's excitable, and just interacting with him is always a blast.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that kind of goes into, like, the way you interact with all these characters, that's how you get the most out of the Star Cruiser.
Yes.
Yes. I think maybe let's open it up by saying we got there, we had set up our data pads, we went and saw our room. The room's really cool. Let's come back to that, because I think there's more exciting things to talk about.
Yeah, for sure. We can talk about the room later.
So we go to our first lunch on the Star Cruiser. We'll loop back on food as well, because I'm getting to a specific story
food
here.
Is so good.
So I had seen from watching some videos before we went.
Whoa.
Could you repeat that? You watched some videos before you went?
I watched some videos, but I didn't watch the... Anytime they got to the finale
spoilers
of the story, I did not watch. Ordinary Adventures did a really, really good job. I think it was mostly their video and the All Ears video that I watched.
Right. Because, I mean, before this, there was only one press tour, and that was all we had.
Yeah. Well, and, Tim Tracker was invited for a half-day thing that was not the full experience. So, his video was just look at the Star Cruiser. It's pretty cool. So, I had seen that if you went up and scanned your Magic Band, which you get a really cool Halcyon Magic Band that all of
it's
us still
exclusive.
Have.
Exclusive.
It is. And then I bought an extra one in a different color.
I'll be bringing mine to Disney in a month.
Yeah. Stay tuned for trip planning with Peter. So if you scanned your Magic Band on just this maintenance station and then started trying to get in, you would get a message on your data pad from one of the characters on the ship. And so that is how I got introduced to Gaia's tour manager. And... oh, man, I cannot remember his name. Do you guys remember his name?
Oh,
it was a good Star Wars name.
I do not.
It's fine. It doesn't really matter. So he starts texting me and is like, hey, I saw you were fiddling around with the systems, and I like the cut of your jib, kid. We're trying to set up a secure link for Gaia to send some personal messages that we don't want the press getting a hold of. So if you could, I can send you some instructions later. You can take care of something in the engineering area for me. And so I got that. He sent me the instructions, and I was just like, hey guys, I'll see you in a minute.
Yeah. Yep.
I got to go do a thing.
So to clarify, this call came through on that data pad we mentioned before.
Yes. Yeah. To Peter's point earlier.
Right. And now there's an interesting fact, because the data pad that's sort of an automated response. But yes. You then went and took that to the actor playing the character.
Yes.
Now, the actor playing the character was not sitting there texting Cody. But when Cody went up and talked to him about it...
It gives you a code word.
Oh. He knows the code word. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So
I didn't know about the code word because yes. I was in a dirty Imperial the whole time.
Yeah, you were.
So what he told me was, hey, when you see me later in the lobby area... Tell me that we met before during Guy's legendary performance on Ryloth. And so I'm standing in a group and I grab him and I was like, hey, I don't know if you remember me. I'm Cody. We met during Guy's legendary performance on Ryloth. And he does, you know, the best sort of, you know, like TV character actor response to that, where he looks at me like, what are you talking about? And then goes, oh. Yeah, we did. We did meet during Guy's legendary performance on Ryloth. And then Sandro is coming up to him and pitching his music because it's what he does the entire cruise.
Yes.
And this is my favorite moment, bar none, of the entire cruise. I've got two face characters interacting with me at the same time. And Guy's manager leans into me and first he said like, oh man, why don't you tell Cody all about that? And then he goes to say goodbye to me. He pulls me into a hug and whispers in my ear, like, do me this solid and I'll do you a favor later. And then he like claps me on the back and just whoosh is gone into the crowd. And Sandro's just kind of looking at me like, so I'm telling you about my music now?
It's great. That's it was so great.
So that's what you get out of it. I mean,
that's living a Star Wars.
Yeah,
it is. And
it's all these little stories, these little moments.
Yeah, and like
we each have stories about them.
Yes, and the size, like I've seen a lot of things on the internet quote complaining about the size or the number of people there. And like actually I think with less people there, the number of interactions you're going to have with the named characters goes up. And the interactions with the named characters is the quintessential like essence of this whole experience.
For us at least. Now, we did hear about some people who just sat in the lounge and drank and played Sabacc all day. But
and listen, if you want to do that, if you want to play Sabacc all day and drink, like this is the trip for you. So, like, more power to you.
There's lots of ways to spend your Star Cruise.
There are a lot of ways to spend your Star Cruise, but I think engaging with it as it comes is the best possible way. And we made some mistakes with how we engaged. You know, having all three of us in the room, which was, you know, the only way we were going to do this trip because it's very expensive, meant that our droid was a little confused about where our allegiances lie.
Oh, yeah, because, okay.
Very confused.
So, yeah, we had, the Star Cruiser, you have three main paths you can take. And it's kind of like, I like to liken it to Westworld without all the murder and mayhem. But there
that's in version 2.0.
That's in version 2.0. But there are paths you can take, and your experience changes dramatically based on those paths. And I was on the Imperial path because I was there role-playing as an Imperial pilot, which led to all sorts of amazing interactions. Cody was attempting to do the smuggler path, and Brayden was attempting to do
I was attempting to do the rebellion path.
Well, no, they're not called the rebellion because it's...
So it's like the resistance?
Yeah, yeah,
and there's
resistance
like a more mystic Jedi path.
Yeah, so
well,
that's like a
seeker path.
There are actually four.
Okay.
Yeah, and so you have, like, if you interact with the Saja...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Then you do get to go down the path of the Force or the
which
Jedi.
Is a shame because I like had a good connection with the Saja. Like he knew my name,
yeah.
But I was Imperial, so
uh-huh. he wouldn't. Like,
so one thing,
which is great because he wouldn't actually like tell you about it. Like it's so in character, it's so great.
There, one thing that is great is that it was clear that at least that original cast had been told not just the face characters, but also the just generic crew members who are. You know, just cast members roaming who work the hotel, they have clearly been told you need to commit like three or four guests' names to memory and say hi to them anytime you see them. And we had a couple of like one guy who worked in the gift shop and then one cast member who like worked security when we, not security, but like got us from security to the elevator. Her name is Elizabeth. She was in the Disney College program. She is no longer at Disney. But I know because like everyone, I made friends with people that were on the cruise and then they sent me a bunch of links to profiles. And so I just followed this random college kid and was like, maybe I should stop this. She's not on the Star Cruiser anymore.
Yeah, well. It was so great. So, like, our first real, like, one of the first real experiences that we had in before was the gift shop, and that was super fun.
Gift shop's connected to the lobby.
Gift shop's connected to the lobby.
Yeah, it feels like a cruise ship.
It does feel like a cruise ship. Everything that you can buy in that store is in-universe, so there's no Star Wars logo on anything. Yeah. It's all Halcyon.
And everything branded. In the gift shop was exclusive to the Halcyon.
That's correct.
And there was a secret in the gift shop.
There is a secret in the gift shop. We didn't find it. There's a secret. There's a secret pin that you can get from the gift shop. That if I ever get to go back, like I would love to do that. But anyway, we digress on the gift shop. Like, you know, check it out. It's great.
So let's maybe talk a little bit more about the four paths.
Yes, that's what I was going to come back to. Is you really do need to commit to a path, and that's difficult because you do have to like make decisions and turn things down. But my particular experience got confused because I was trying to say yes to the Jedi path and to the Resistance path. And so I got like half of both, which worked out for me in the end. But I would say like for the best experience, commit to one.
Well, Peter lucked out because by taking the First Order path, all the other paths rejected him.
Yes.
Yeah, that was pretty easy. It's pretty much when... So all of this is done mostly through the datapad.
Yeah.
And the way you interact with the datapad. So, you know, on this iPhone you've been given, you'll get messages from the various characters in the datapad. And it's all done very well. It has, like, the actual picture of the actor who's playing the character at that particular point in time. And the way you interact with those characters on the datapad will set you on the path. Now, yeah, for me, it was super easy because as I was going through the First Order path, it was pretty much when the Imperial texts you, you say, yes, sir. And that's it. You're on the Imperial path. You're set. Now, Cody tried to get onto the Smuggler path originally, and that went wrong. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, so I think it was that I was doing the Smuggler stuff and saying yes to the Resistance stuff.
Yes.
And it just kind of muddled the path. So I think that it is super important. I'm sure someone has made one where there is a flowchart of what to say to get the path you want. And I think that it is absolutely worth reading, at least to the point where you're determining what path you're on if you're planning the trip. Mm-hmm. Because the last thing you want is to say the wrong thing and kind of screw up your plan for the trip because you didn't know how to respond to this
now,
kind of not obvious question.
Now, if I understand correctly as well, if you really do mess up, like the cast members will help you get onto the path that you want.
Yes.
Yes. You can
they
always
want you to have the best time.
So in the lobby, there is a like concierge desk, just like at a hotel or on a cruise ship. You can go talk to the concierge and you can, they will attempt to begin the conversation. Like Kinsey and I talked about last week, they'll start it in universe. But if you really need to have them break out of the universe and say like my iPhone has me on the wrong path, they will fix it for you. They want you to have the best experience. You're not inconveniencing anyone by doing this. You're simply trying to get, you know, back on the right path, and they will help you do that if you need help.
So what do the paths get you? What do each of these paths, you know, what's the differences?
Like what's the big payoff on each one?
So it really, there'll be events later on. And this is sort of why we were saying that when we actually went into Disney, we were like kind of hurried and wanted to get back to the Star Cruiser because there are many events that pop up. Some of them are random. Some of them are scheduled. But as you go through it, it will schedule you and say, hey, we're, you know, as an Imperial, it's like we're meeting clandestinely in the engine room to sabotage something.
They're going to arrest someone.
Yeah, or we're going to arrest someone.
Let's not spoil any of the surprise appearances, but wow, I can't believe you participated in that.
Oh, it was great.
It changed my view of you as a person.
So this goes into a little bit about the whole role play aspect of it.
Oh, a quick, sorry to interrupt. A quick Google has seemingly revealed that there are actually six paths.
Whoa.
Resistance, Smuggler, the Force, First Order, rom-com, and heist.
I guess rom-com is...
If you're really participating hard in the Sandro Wani storyline. Wani is the Rodian.
I didn't know about it at all. That's phenomenal.
I was hoping there would be a Sith path. But
I participated in the heist a little bit.
Okay.
So I know what they're talking about. So the heist is the culmination, I feel like, of the smuggler path. I think they're giving some...
It does feel like it.
I think they're giving some things here that are kind of like conflated or not connecting the path with its payoff.
The rom-com doesn't feel like a path. You don't have to go into the engine room to...
And that's fair.
I think what you do for that is you're helping Sandro write his song.
Ah.
Because remember, his thing kind of culminates and he calls out the people who helped him work on the
song.
Yes,
that's true. That's true.
So each path or storyline sort of culminates in whoever engaged the most with it or was the cutest kid who was nearby gets kind of called out in the credits in the finale where it was kind of like, you were part of this.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't get called out in the Imperial one, as I already said.
There were some little kids.
There were a lot of little kids in the Imperial one, and I was like,
okay. Yeah, they should get called out.
But yes, that goes into sort of the role play aspect of it, which is, at least on our trip, I don't know if it's true for every trip after, but everybody, even the guests, were all so in character. It made it so entertaining. Mm-hmm. So as a 501st member, I was wearing one of my costumes. Now, my 501st costumes are old Imperial. The time setting for this cruise is during the era of the First Order.
Yeah, so sequel trilogy.
Sequel trilogy.
Rey, Finn, all those guys.
Mm-hmm. Now, I was wearing a TIE pilot uniform of the original Empire, and that colored every interaction I had in very interesting ways, because people would say, oh, you're a history buff.
Like he's some weirdo wearing a Confederate uniform.
Yeah, there was a lot of
Civil War
reenactor.
There
was a lot of that, which was a lot of fun. And then I interacted with another gentleman who was a passenger who was also in the 501st, and he was wearing a First Order like officer's uniform. And so the interactions we had with other characters were super different. Cody, you went into one of your favorite interactions earlier. I'm going to go into mine now.
Yes, please.
Which was when we were on the bridge doing one of the events, because there's lots of... basically, you have a kind of a shipboard training exercise, and depending on which one you're stationed at, the event changes.
It's like a muster on a cruise ship, if you've done that.
Yeah, and I don't want to get into too much spoilers, but let's just say that the cruise ship was up to activities that the First Order / Imperials would not approve of. And the captain who was there at the time looks at both me and the First Order officer and, you know, goes into a whole thing of like, if you want to leave and not see what we're about to do, you can. But we're about to do it, and I hope you understand that we're trying to help somebody in need. And it was just like such a personal interaction and based fully on the fact that I was wearing this uniform and playing this character. And so it made the experience so much more interesting.
Yeah. So let's maybe talk about our backstory a little bit, because we put together like a group backstory.
Yep.
And then individual ones. So our story was that like we had gone to college together on Coruscant.
Corellia,
that's right. Yes.
Because
I was from Corellia. Yeah.
Because we decided that Texas was the most similar to Corellia for some reason.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, sure.
Some manufacturing, other nice places to live. You know, it's not all Houston.
Yeah. So I was...
Sorry to anybody who lives in Houston.
You don't need to apologize to them. They deserve it. They know what they've chosen.
They do.
So we had gone to college together on Corellia. If I remember correctly, my like pretty simple backstory was that I like worked with speeders now. Yeah. And then Brayden, what was yours?
I think I had some like affinity or affiliation to the Church of the Force, like Lor San Tekka. And so I was like really interested in Force artifacts and Jedi trinkets and things like that.
And then Peter was really into his brother who had died.
Yeah, it was like, so for me, it was my...
I just want to make fun of him.
My brother, like my character's brother, was an Imperial pilot who died tragically during the war of rebel aggression and heroically served the Empire. And so he was a pilot himself, but wore his brother's uniform. Because I had the TIE pilot uniform and I had to come up with a reason why. I'd
really
be wearing it like 30 years later.
What's going on with this guy? He seems like he's got some issues that needs to work out in some, whatever the Star Wars equivalent of therapy is.
There is none. There is none.
No mental health care in the galaxy.
You fight the Rancor. You fight the Rancor's therapy.
Listen, space therapy went the way of OSHA in the Star Wars universe. There just doesn't exist, much like
why would there be
they
railings?
Don't exist.
Yeah, who needs them? How could you push your subordinates off when they disrespect you if there were handrails?
Yeah. But yeah, we all had these characters, and the idea was like, well, let's stick to these characters as we go through this Star Wars experience. And I think that added so much to
our
experience.
Yeah, and I think that kind of gets to, you know, we all have a background of having played quite a bit of Dungeons & Dragons. We have played the Star Wars role-playing game together. And so we kind of had some experience in role-playing games prior to this.
Right.
That I think were pretty helpful to us in being able to, like, take on a character and kind of play.
Now, we were...
So if you want to practice before you go on the trip, like, I would absolutely encourage you to get together with the group that you're going to travel with and try to play like the Star Wars role-playing game or some version of that if you can. Like it'd be really good practice.
Now my question is, you know, we were on the first Star Cruise, and so one of the things that made it so amazing for us, at least for me, was the fact that we were not the only ones doing this.
Correct.
We were not the only ones who came up with these characters and were playing them. We had interactions with so many guests who were fully invested in their characters, and not even just like humans. There were aliens. There were guests playing aliens on this trip, and it was absolutely outstanding because the interactions felt so real.
Yeah, someone was dressed in full Ratakan, Urasaja Ventress, whatever her species is, and that was amazing. And just like so many other things that were so amazing, someone was the species that Jax. If you are listening to this and you know who Jax is,
that's a deep cut.
So deep that I didn't even understand it on the cruise.
No, but she was great, and it's like our interactions became strained because I was very pro-imperial and she was not.
Right, because she stayed in character. It's
and
great.
Yeah, because people would just stay in character the whole time, and I don't know if that's still happening on the cruise. Are people still doing that?
Right, and if you're the only ones doing this, I would say just go for it because the cast members are gonna love you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And it probably encourages other people.
Definitely. I think that part of it is, you know, a lot of people are not used to playing pretend as grownups. And so they're going to feel awkward about it. But if you're just committed to it and doing it, other people are going to be comfortable with it and open up.
Yeah. I had somebody come up to me and get into at least a 15-minute argument about the Death Star. And about the purpose of the Death Star. And I said, it was a real tragedy for the Empire. And it was one of the funniest things because, I mean, this was a person wearing, you know, he wasn't fully in character or in costume or anything like that. He was wearing normal clothes. But he came up and interacting with me, he was in character. And it kind of encouraged it. And
he basically walked up to you and said that your uniform was like insulting to him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was fantastic. I had children come up to me and try to distract me during various parts as they were going about their rebel activities. And I was forced into playing the role of the Imperial, and it was so much fun.
Yeah, it was great.
So
all
support
of it was
the Empire.
Great. Whoa. We can't say that.
Rebellions are built on hope. Rebellions are built on hope, guys.
Yeah, this is a rebellion, isn't it? I rebel.
Oh God. I'm glad that line wasn't in the movie.
That was the worst. That was the worst trailer for a movie maybe ever. But anyway, great
so,
movie.
Yeah, what else? Let's talk about the food, because I think this was a real highlight. This was such a good melding of like recognizably Earth food so that you could know what you were eating while at the same time being like otherworldly.
I have so many pictures of food.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, I mean,
let's maybe start with like breakfast and lunch stuff, because that was a little more, the dinner experience was different.
Yeah, so breakfast and lunch were buffets. You go and you pick what you want, and it was all delicious. And this is all part of your price. Your price of entry is all the food, not
and
the alcoholic
all you
drinks.
Can drink blue milk, baby.
All you can drink blue
all
milk.
All you can drink blue milk, and that's like
but
$7. That blue milk is $7 a pop. Like, drink all the blue milk you can, people.
It's plant based. It's healthy.
But yeah, it's the food was so good. It was. It all had such a great presentation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything looked like it belonged in the universe. And
Braden
like,
is just scrolling through photos on his
phone.
Oh, I am.
It's like, so like there was tip-yip, which is the Earth equivalent of chicken, and there's something else that's
couscous. Something that looks like a couscous, yeah.
And there was like a potato thing that like was amazing.
Oh yeah. And oh my goodness. I'm looking at the pictures now too, and it's making me want to go back.
I know it is.
We should go back, boys.
We should. Like,
let me just scrounge up for the
several thousand dollars. Oh gosh.
Well, I won't need to buy any merch this time.
That's true.
Except for that one secret pin.
Yeah, except that you will buy merch again because, you know.
No, I don't need to. I got one of those shields for free. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
we got a shield for free?
I did get a shield for free. I thought I gave you one.
Yeah, we gave you one.
We had a shield?
Yeah, remember from the lightsaber training?
Oh, not the big one, though.
Yeah, no, the big one.
I didn't get a big one.
I thought we gave you one.
Who did we give the third one to? We brought a third one back.
Did I give it to my brother?
They did a promo because no one bought these shields because they are the dorkiest thing you could ever possibly own. And there's so many cooler, dorky things to own.
Yep.
So for a while at Savvy's, if you bought a Legacy lightsaber, they gave you a free shield.
Yeah. I've just learned my friends have betrayed me and not given me a shield.
Dirty Imperial.
Dude, who did we... who would we have given it to that's not Peter?
I think we gave it to my brother. I think my brother got it.
Wow.
I'm so sorry.
We're going to have to deal
Peter,
with it.
Peter, I'm hurt for you.
I am hurt.
You can have mine.
You can have mine.
Because I don't care about it.
That's okay.
Please take it.
Mine's somewhere in the top of a closet. So if you will display yours, you can have it.
Back to the food.
Yes. Okay. So I remember eating like little cream puff things that were incredible.
Delicious.
It's all like very small plates. So you can feel really comfortable trying everything. They have a traditional soda fountain with the logos were in Orabesh, but like, you know, obvious what everything
was. Mm-hmm.
And it's the same soda that's available on all Disney property. And that stuff is available all the time.
Pretty much all the time. The blue milk is obviously delicious and you should drink it. If you are a tea drinker like me, I don't drink coffee.
Well, they had a whole tea service.
They have a whole tea service that they brought out to me with special Halcyon like mugs and a tea set. And so like, definitely go for that.
You can take things back to your room. This is a thing I've
seen since
we were there is like just carry a plate of snacks back to your room and hold on to them.
And there was an always open snack bar over at the concierge.
Yes. Yeah. They always had snacks available. I was collecting those. There were some cookies that I brought home.
Are they unwrapped or have they been?
No, I think we ate them pretty quickly.
Yeah. So like,
I think we ate them in the hotel room when we stayed over.
Yeah. So I'm looking at the breakfast and they have some pastries and some things that are like blue milk cream cheese. And then they have some avocado toast or the space equivalent of that, some sous vide eggs that are square,
That's why the kids brilliant. On Coruscant can't afford housing. It's all that space avocado toast.
Exactly. No matter that there's thousands of levels of housing that no one can own. But anyway, I digress. But the most impressive presentation was definitely the fruit. They definitely had dragon fruit and some other things, but they coat this fruit in this powder. So it's cubed and it's looks like it's dry, but it's like still juicy on the inside.
Ooh, yes.
And
this
it's
is
so amazing.
This is a thing that honestly, like Michelin star restaurants are very into right now that is compressing fruit. So Peter and I saw this we went to a very fancy restaurant in France that does French Japanese fusion, and they had some compressed fruit on their menu. I saw it on a trip to Italy. Kinsey and I went to a fancy restaurant there that had some compressed watermelon. So like they are bringing food techniques to the Halcyon that are world-class techniques for sure. Oh, what is the photo of?
It's a photo of me.
Oh, yes.
Wearing his senatorial
garb. I like seeing photos of me.
Peter sometimes just stands in front of a mirror and looks at himself for several minutes on end.
And if you want to spend your Halcyon trip doing that, you can.
You can. Yeah.
No one can stop you.
And even the can we
it's
can
a
we
free
just digress?
Galaxy.
Can we just digress for a second and talk about like the detail, the level of detail that they went to is like even the shampoo and the showers has Arabesh on it, like in its in
you,
universe.
Like we said, you are 100%.
You are 100% immersed. And when we say 100%, like we are 100%.
And yeah, I mean, you get that from the drinks, you get that from the food. I think, I don't know if the tea bags they brought you had Orabesh on them or if they
the
were
the only thing
bags.
That wasn't in the universe was the tea bags, but okay. I assumed that they imported them from a galaxy far, far away.
There you go.
So,
there
you know, I was like, it's fine.
But yeah, the food was all fantastic. So this was breakfast and lunch. Now, all drinks were included except for the alcoholic drinks. Do we talk about the alcoholic drinks yet?
We have not gotten to that. I think we'll kind of cover that all at once with the bar, but let's talk about dinner.
Okay, dinner.
So dinner comes out in several courses. It's dinner and a show. We were not able to get the captain's table. Essentially, what happened was Andrea said, you can be on the first cruise and not have the captain's table, or you could be on the second one and get it. And we were like, we would rather be on the very first one because I am an incredibly impatient person.
Correct. And I would not trade that experience for anything.
No, but if you're going now, I would highly recommend.
Also, we were 10 feet away from the captain's table.
We were already close to the captain's table. But if you're going now and you have the opportunity to go on the captain's table, I highly recommend it. Like we've said, a lot of the joy you get out of this trip is the interactions with people and interactions with the cast members. And the captain's table was you were going to interact with a lot of characters.
And and even though we weren't at the captain's table, we did get to interact with the captain.
I mean, Gaia came and interacted with me while she was singing.
Yes. And so I cannot begin to describe the level of commitment that the cast members had to this. Like, it is... They are top tier, phenomenal cast members.
Well, and there's a level of like, this is a ridiculous thing. Like, how many times in the career of a Disney performer, because a lot of these people have worked on property for years, how many opportunities do you have like this where you get to be in character, interacting with guests, performing, moving around in like an entire space where everyone is engaged in the performance. Like, it just doesn't happen anywhere else.
For multiple days, too.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be like you wake up the next day and it's like, oh, hey, there's the captain.
Well, and like in my, like the Smuggler's finale, not to get into too many spoilers here, but it all ties into like why Gaia is on the ship. And all of that happens. Like, I delivered a suitcase to Gaia.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like hanging out in the bar and I'm like, hey, I'm supposed to, you left this earlier. I needed to get it to you. And we like had a whole conversation and then took a photo together.
Yeah.
And then she continued talking to the people she'd been talking to in the bar, just like a, you know, a normal person would.
Yes. Right. And actually the suitcase actually dovetails into my favorite experience. Can we talk about that for a second?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. Let's do it.
So we're like sneaking around the ship at one point, and I won't give too much away, trying to deliver the suitcase. And like everyone is just so committed to this. It's great.
This is when I was like looking for you, right?
Yes.
I was on the Imperial Patrol.
Yeah, you
keep
were.
Keep an eye open.
So this is where the paths of the story kind of crossed. And again, we would just encourage you to like pick one of the paths. But so like I'm trying to sneak the suitcase around, and then I see this whole group of people with
oops. Whoa. You come around the corner and see someone unexpected.
Right. Yeah. So I come around the corner and see someone unexpected and this whole group of people following them. And I'm like, oh man, I have to follow this group of people because it's like the most exciting thing that I've seen. And so I end up going and finding and following this person. And then I end up at the lightsaber training dojo, which we've already done at this point. And like the lightsaber training is, oh man, it is so much fun.
I want to give you a pro tip since you've hung out here for 57 minutes of listening to us talk. I want to tell you the secret to the lightsaber dojo so that you won't be like the guy in our group who never caught on to what was happening. The stars in the backdrop tell you where the blaster bolt is going to be coming. That's the Force telling you where the blaster bolt is coming so you can block it.
I don't know what stars you're talking about. I just felt the Force flowing through me at this point. Like,
yeah. He felt the Force flowing through him.
The Force. Yeah, the Force. The Force. The Force.
Wait. What was it that Brayden said that one time? That the... He's like... down... the one guy made fun of it. Do you remember? Do you remember what I'm talking about? It was like... Brayden said something. He was like, duck up or something. It was something wacky.
Sajay made fun of him.
Yeah, Sajay made fun of him.
Sajay did make fun of me, and it was completely and utterly deserved. But anyway, so even after the lightsaber training, we end up in... I'm following this person. It's really exciting. And we end up in the lightsaber training dojo. And so we all sit down, and this person is talking. And then all of a sudden, I see a holocron drop from the ceiling or not dropped from the ceiling, like just as like brought out.
Braden texted me as this was happening, like telling me what is happening.
Yeah.
And I was like, Peter, we got to get to him. We couldn't get there.
No, because this is the whole thing with the paths is that you have a whole different experience. Cody and I did not get to experience this.
Yeah.
We experienced other stuff.
And so this was honestly the most magical experience that I had. And you know, over a year later, I still have not like looked up how they did this to maintain the magic of the whole thing, because I'm just like, I don't want to know. I really, really don't want to know. And so this holocron opens up and I see a hologram of pop up who's telling me things about the Force. And I just go, oh my goodness, this is amazing. I'm going to have to redo that because you're going to cut it.
I mean, I think that we'll probably cut specifically who showed up.
Okay.
But I think saying the hologram was incredible is totally fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The point of this whole thing that I'm trying to say without trying to get too much into spoilers is the technological advancement or the technological implementation of this thing that they did, which I will not name, was the most magical Star Wars experience that I've ever had in my life.
I mean, it was great for you to come back to our room that night and tell us what had happened and be like, guys, I have no idea how they did this.
And to this day, I still have no idea how they did this.
I feel like, you know, for things that are that powerful, sometimes looking up how the illusion works really like takes it down a peg in your mind and in your heart.
And I've avoided looking up how the illusion works.
Specifically so that it doesn't get taken away.
Exactly.
Yeah, we didn't get any of that on the Imperial Path. We just got sadness.
I remember the other 501st guy telling you like, you know, they never can let us win, but it's okay.
No, that was definitely a bit of it. It's like, yeah, I know I'm going to lose, but it'll be fun.
You're going to have fun along the way.
We got very sidetracked from dinner.
We did.
Yes. Okay, so dinner comes out in courses. The thing I remember the most is the thing that got featured in like all of the vlogs, everything, which is the blue shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
It is a Felucian delicacy.
Yeah, the whole thing is that you're getting meals from like a bunch of different planets.
Yeah.
And so you got your Mustafarian bread service, which is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. You got your Alderaanian wine.
Oh, yeah.
With dinner. Like, that was amazing. Very rare vintage.
The wine was included, right? That was part of dinner? I think so.
I think that was part of dinner. That was the one time that it was included.
If we're wrong, you'll find out. Yeah. Otherwise, you know, it's an extra
either way,
bucks.
It's worth it. It's a very rare vintage.
The alcohol is worth it.
Yeah, it's really blowing up right now. That Alderaanian wine.
Oh,
boo.
You'll hear that joke on the Star Cruiser.
On the Star Cruiser in Oga's Cantina.
Is that a spoiler? It might be a spoiler. Hmm.
It's a spoiler for a movie that came out 50 years ago.
No, I'm talking about the wine, not the movie.
No, that doesn't count.
And the movie didn't come out 50 years ago.
Yeah, we're pushing 50.
45.
77.
Whoa, I think Peter just lost his Star Wars fan card.
I did.
We can cut that.
We can't.
No, we're keeping that in. let that shame burn for all eternity on the internet.
79 was Alien.
Yeah. 77,
movie.
80, no, 83, 2000, or 99, 2002, 2005.
Yeah. Okay. So we've kind of talked about the food. It's all very fun. Let's talk about why people are really spending $6,000 to hang out on the Star Cruiser. It is the Sublight Lounge.
Oh, for sure. So let's segue to the Sublight Lounge via the food.
Yes.
Because there is some exclusive food that you can only order at the Sublight Lounge.
And it's all included.
And all the food is included.
Yes.
And so
free
you
snackage.
Should,
and it's open very late.
Absolutely order literally everything on the menu that's food because it is all included. So
it's all very good.
Yeah, we hang out there till what, like 1 a.m. one day.
Yeah, it's open till 1 a.m. or 0100 on the ship time and or Coruscant standard time, whichever one you want to go for. The cheese, you should definitely order the smoky cheese.
The smoky cheese was awesome.
Yes, yes.
It came out in the cloche, all smoked, and then you know, you get to see it dissipate. It was very fun. It was a good presentation.
It's an excellent presentation.
And along with that, the cocktails.
Yes. Okay, so we drank pretty much everything except for the drink that includes a trip to Skywalker Ranch.
Is that on the Star Is that on the Star Cruiser?
I thought that was on the cruise.
Is that only on the cruise ship?
I thought that was on the cruise ship.
Okay, maybe it is.
But we drank our way through this entire bar. So yes, let's assume you've been to Oga's Cantina. You've had all the drinks there. You love them. These are not the same drinks. These are completely different drinks.
Yeah. So they're served in... Each drink is served in a unique glass. There is a like Mustafarian drink that, if I remember correctly, was like tequila-based and then had a spicy liquid that you poured into it.
Lava you can pour
yes,
into it.
Yes, lava in a tube.
And that one's a souvenir mug or glass that you can take home.
Yeah, I broke mine.
Oh, no.
Sad.
I got to go back.
We got to go back, guys.
I still have my lava tubes, though, because I ended up with two.
Oh, you have my lava tube. That's where that went.
No, because my first lava tube came out and didn't have anything in it. So they brought me another one.
Okay. Well, I guess I lost my lava tube then. That's fine.
I mean, you can have one of the extras. I think it's in that cabinet.
I don't really need it.
But yeah. So like the drinks are very fun. They're all on theme. They're served in crazy glasses. Braden and I, as we're on the Star Cruiser, are like looking and trying to find glasses online. Because we know that the moment it gets out that these glasses are being used on the Star Cruiser, they're going to sell out.
I do have two of the glasses that are amazing.
Yeah, I'll post a picture on our Instagram, at Mountains and Monorails, where you can follow us and see all of our Disney adventures. But these glasses that we got are just like absolutely sick. They're so cool.
Yeah, they really, really
they're
are.
They're very cool.
So just order everything. It's great.
Yeah, I mean, just work your way through the bar. There's no reason not to. You've already spent so much to be there. You've got to try all the drinks.
So do we want to talk about our excursion now?
Yeah, let's talk about the excursion.
Okay.
So in Disney Parks terms, you're going to go out into Galaxy's Edge. We'll get into the cool part of it. But just so you know what you're getting going in, you're going to go into Galaxy's Edge and you're going to have an individual lightning lane for Smuggler's Run and for Rise of the Resistance. So you get to see the best Star Wars rides in the parks. All like skip the line, just go do it. You're a VIP. You get a special Galactic Star Cruiser pin.
I don't think they do the pins anymore.
Oh, did they stop doing it?
I thought they stopped doing the pins.
Oh, that's super lame.
Yeah, the pins were the idea behind the pins were that so that the cast members in the park would know you're from the Star Cruiser and kind of tailor your expectation for that. Like we had a cast member come up to us and say, you know, oh, you know, I'm so jealous of you. You get to listen to Gaia perform.
Yeah, we had multiple cast members talk to us about Gaia. It was really cool for them to be like, oh my gosh, you get to see pop sensation Gaia.
That'd be sad if they didn't do that anymore.
So it ties into your storyline. There's a physical prop that if you are the first person to complete, there's a couple of missions on the planet. Everyone completes them. But if you are the very first person from the cruise to do it, there's a physical prop that you like carry back over to the entrance.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
What's the physical prop?
It's like a stolen data tape case. Yeah.
It's stolen data tapes.
Oh, yeah. Because of the, yeah, there's like a whole storyline. And again, this is all interaction through your data pad, which is why the app is so important to your overall experience. But.
So scan everything.
Yeah. So that's interesting that like there's actually a physical prop if you're the first person to do it.
Yeah. And a cool feature of coming in through the Star Cruiser is you load into what naysayers on the internet will describe as a box truck. But what we, as people who have actually experienced it, would describe as a shuttle pod.
Yeah. And so one of the times...
No part you see is unthemed.
It's
important
right,
to
You
say.
Don't see anything. Nothing breaks the illusion. Sometimes they like, do they even refer to like some of the bumps as turbulence or whatever? Like it's all really, really good.
Yeah. I mean, there's a driver of the ship, a pilot of the ship who's like talking to you the whole time. You're hanging out with other people. We were hanging out with Ash and Brian on our shuttle trip down to the planet from Always Believe. And we had a fantastic time and no amount of this is a box truck could dissuade me from having a fantastic time on the entirely themed cargo portion of a box truck.
No, you never actually see the fact that you're driving in a truck.
You can't hear it either.
You can't hear it either. All you know is that you load into it on the Star Cruiser.
Via an airlock.
Yeah, via an airlock. It's all done really well. And then when you get off of it, you're at like a special part of Galaxy's Edge that you don't see normally.
Yeah. So Kinsey and I talked you through like the layout of Galaxy's Edge. If you're a Star Wars fan planning your like end all be all Star Wars trip to the parks, this is back between Oga's and Kylo Ren's ship that's hanging out near the little First Order gift shop, which is very funny to imagine the First Order having a gift shop. So there is a cutout in the rock face there that leads back, and normally it's roped off. But during excursion days for the Star Cruiser, there will be a cast member back there, and you can swing by at any point and pick up a bottle of in-universe water, which is very fun. The Dasani water bottles they sell in Galaxy's Edge are in Orabesh, and you can swing by and grab a bottle of water at any point on your excursion. And
which honestly was one of the best parts of the excursion.
Yeah. They also, you know, we went and picked up some stuff from Doc Ondar's for Brayden because it was a launch day for an item that he wanted.
Yep.
We picked him up there and we brought him back to the cast members and they held them for us.
Yes.
And then just delivered them to our room. So we didn't even have to like pick them up to take them back to the ship.
Yeah. They were the service and the level of attention that they gave was absolutely exceptional.
Yeah, and it was the cast member who had escorted us from security to the launch pod to get up to the ship was then one of the cast members who was working our excursion. So she like said hi to all of us by name and knew who we were, took care of our items. It was just like the whole thing was so cool.
It was just absolutely amazing. The other thing you need to make sure to do on your excursion is to go to to Oga's.
Mm-hmm.
And
ooh, yes.
Oh yes.
Because that's part of the mission, and they do have an exclusive coaster that's only for the Star Cruiser members.
I have it in my tiki bar.
Yeah, absolutely. As you should.
It is a purple coaster.
Yeah, that is part of the whole experience. Yes, and so it's just really the whole
role play experience continues even while you're at Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah, so your times riding the rides like actually tie into the story. Without getting into any spoilers, like your time on Smuggler's Run ties into the story. Your time riding Rise of the Resistance ties into the story. So if you already know the stories of those rides, you might get a little bit of an idea as to how they connect. And then we went to pick up some contraband at Oga's, which seems like the kind of place you would pick up some contraband.
So again, it's really fun because I, as a loyal, law-abiding citizen of the Empire... My reason for doing all these things is very different from y'all. And I don't think this is too much of a spoiler, but I'll say that, you know, if you've been on Rise of the Resistance before, you know the kind of plot to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that changed the interactions with the cast members at the second half of the Rise of the Resistance line.
Yes. Oh, the end of the queue.
Yeah, the end of the queue. And so, you know, there were references made to my lieutenant. And specifically the purpose of why I was there. So really, really fun stuff. Just completely changed it all.
Yeah. So it's really fun to see that all of this was scripted with everything else in mind, where like the plots of Smuggler's Run and Rise of the Resistance tie into the Star Cruiser. And I think that that might bring us to, because we're not going to talk about the finale at all, except to say that it was really cool. Right.
It was amazing.
It was very cool.
Yeah. But I think that this brings us to something really interesting that happened at Star Wars Celebration, which was during a talk with the Imagineers who worked on the Star Cruiser, Scott Trowbridge, one of them who we got to meet.
Oh,
on
yes.
The Star Cruiser.
Oh, and what was their name that got to meet and they were like going around the whole time?
I got to meet several Imagineers during our cruise. And it was very cool. We hung out at the Sublight Lounge really late one night. It was opening weekend for them. So they're talking about how things went. They're talking about past experiences. And I just kind of popped in near the end of my evening to be like, hey, I don't want to like push anyone to break character because I've been interacting with you this whole voyage. But I do just want to say like this was an absolutely incredible experience. This was so much fun. And I have like a couple of questions for you all as Imagineers. And, you know, like, please be willing to break character a little bit to talk to me about this. And so I got to have a really fun conversation with many Imagineers who worked on the project. There were like five of them hanging out that night.
Yeah. And several of the Imagineers participated in this opening voyage that just like made the voyage just out of this world.
And in character, too.
And in character, yes. And out of this world. It was just wonderful. They did
including the one that Braden was referring to earlier, who was like, I don't know why you would want to take a picture with me. We were like, but please take one with us.
please take a picture with us.
We took a picture with them outside of, there's an Anzellan-sized compartment on the ship, like a little entrance into a room in one of the stairwells.
No touching!
Because one of the designers of the ship is an Anzellan, which if you are, you know, maybe you don't remember who an Anzellan is, that's Babu Frick from Rise of Skywalker. So,
go ahead. Recently featured in Mandalorian as well.
Yes.
That's what I was going to say.
Oh, cool. So Scott Trowbridge was on a panel at Star Wars Celebration in London. This just happened. And during that panel, it was mentioned that there is the possibility, maybe it's happening, of the Star Cruiser entertaining some different storylines in the future.
Mm. If they entertain different storylines, like, listen.
Britain's like, here's my credit card.
Here's my credit card. Yeah. I will, like, go. I will pay.
If we're going in the time of the Empire.
Yeah, so what I wanted to ask you guys as we close out here at, we're already well over an hour of talking about the Star Cruiser.
Oh, goodness, it's just so
and we
fun.
Could this probably is, talk for another hour about
I think
it.
We've pushed past Michael and I talking about Disneyland Paris at this point, where this is the longest runtime of an episode so far. What storyline would you want to see on a future Star Cruise? What would get you back on the ship?
Well, I mean, yeah, like I said, if we get back to the roots of Star Wars, the Rebellion, the Empire, we get a little story about Darth Vader or something like that. I would enjoy that. I think that's such a core to what Star Wars is. Or if we get something with the Imperial Remnant, I know Mandalorian's so popular right now. I think that'd be a lot
of fun.
Dude,
Moff Gideon on that ship.
Moff
would
Gideon
be absolutely
on the ship.
Terrifying.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it would. Like, I think the most likely scenario is that they pull in something from the Mandalorian era.
That's what they seem the most willing to do in the parks is pull in Mando stuff.
And I think that it's the easiest to transition. They don't have to make a huge change to the ride. They don't have to make a huge change.
Can you
to
imagine?
The thing.
They're gonna have Mando and Grogu on that ship.
Yeah,
like 1,000%. That's what goodness. They want to do.
Yeah, and so like the animatronics and the interactions with the animatronics, like even just thinking about it, I'm just like ear to ear smiling
Grogu's,
right now. Like
Grogu's
it's just
gonna
like
be
amazing.
Making those rocks stack.
Grogu driving G11.
Hey, that's
I can't say what I wanted to say in response to that.
Yeah, well, okay. This is a family
this is a
friendly
G, this is a family friendly podcast.
Family friendly podcast. Okay. Yeah, well, that's fine. We'll find out what Cody wanted to say after we stop rolling on
that's
this.
You subscribe to the Patreon that doesn't exist.
Yeah, so
follow us on Instagram.
I think the Mandalorian is the like Mandalorian era is the most likely to happen, but the like optimist, like ever dreaming person in me is like, I want a High Republic story in on the
well,
Halcyon.
And the Halcyon has existed that long.
Correct.
Because I, as a true dork, read the Halcyon Legacy comics
correct.
That take place through all eras of Star Wars. And the Halcyon has been cruising through the galaxy for hundreds, like approaching like over 1,000 years.
No, well, so actually we were on the 250th anniversary voyage is what we were
yes.
on.
Okay. I'm trying to remember how that would work. How far back is the High Republic?
It's about 250 years.
Okay, that yeah. makes sense. I was thinking it was further back, but I knew from the comic book that like High Republic stuff happened on the ship.
The Old Republic is like thousands
there,
of years
okay.
before, but we technically haven't gotten anything in the Old Republic in the new Disney canon yet.
No, just got to go back to A Knights of the Old Republic if you want that.
Yep, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think that I'm going to be in agreement with Peter here. I would love to see original trilogy weekends happening on the Star Cruiser.
Yes.
We know for a fact Disney already has the original Stormtrooper costumes because prior to the sequel trilogy, they were showing up in Hollywood Studios pretty regularly. They've already got Boba Fett. They've got Darth Vader. Like, I would love to live an original trilogy era Star Wars adventure on the Halcyon.
And everything in the park would be very easily rethemed to original trilogy. Like, you can have the TIE Echelon.
Yeah, like, who cares about them regular people come into the park and I don't care about their experience
at all. No, no, but the story in the park is so tied into the story on the Star Cruiser that really you would just have to switch out a few uniforms, a few helmets, and then, you know, talk about how they're developing the new T-70 X-Wings and all of that.
Even if you lean into Peter's idea of the Imperial Remnants,
yes,
it would kind of explain some mismatch of uniforms.
Yeah.
But nothing would feel more Star Wars to me than a Han Solo face character wandering around the Star Cruiser.
Right.
Oh yeah.
That would be life changing for me.
It really would.
That'd be really impressive.
Well, having Mandalorian characters on the Star Cruiser is fairly easy as well. Because they're all helmeted and
I think Mando era stuff happening on the Star Cruiser is a no-brainer.
Yeah, absolutely.
That should be happening yesterday.
Do you want my money? Because I will give you so much money.
You mean I get to hang out with Grogu for 30 minutes? I'm in.
Okay, Lizzo.
I do love that Lizzo got to leverage all of her cultural cachet to be I'm going to hang out with Grogu on Star Wars.
Listen, I 100% in on a Jack Black Lizzo cameo for the Star Cruiser. Come on, guys.
But yeah, I think, having gone on the Star Cruiser once, it's I'd love to go again. I think the thing that could convince me to go again is if there was a new storyline.
Yeah, I mean, that's the best way to separate me from the several thousand dollars.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you're listening, Bob Iger, take note.
Scott Trowbridge, I hope you have a Google alert for your name, and so you're getting a notification about this episode, because I feel like we have the best chance of Scott caring. Well, yeah. Do you guys have any closing thoughts or anything else you felt like didn't fit in somewhere else on the episode?
The thing that stuck out to me was there was a moment as we were leaving on our Uber to our next Disney hotel, because we tacked on a little bit of a trip afterwards. And so there was a moment when we were all sitting in this Uber going to our next hotel where we mentioned something, and it was do you remember what it was? It was we referred to our watch as a chrono, or it's something as a viewport.
I would imagine it was datapad.
Yeah, we referred to our phone as a datapad, and the Uber driver just looked at us like we were crazy, and it was we spent the last 2.5 days immersed in Star Wars. We're going to have to get used to not being in this world again.
It felt strange to go back.
It felt really weird to leave.
I didn't want to. I want to be in Star Wars forever.
I didn't want to leave. And that was the thing that made me go, this was probably one of the most magical experiences of my life because it was so immersive.
Yeah. I was just imagining the Disney being like, hey, what if you stayed for 3 more days? You could pay right now. And then imagining the horror of the Groundhog Day of living the Star Cruiser story every 2.5 days.
I mean, I would be up for it.
I think I would gain a lot of weight. The food's pretty undeniable.
Yeah, I would gain a lot of weight, but I would get to do a different path each time. And so I'm in.
Yeah, I mean, the thing was that it was just, and the thing I'm interested in finding out is that our experience was so magical based a lot on the cast and the crew who were there, but based in part on the people who were there, the other audience. You know, we went to dinner on one night and just saw people in these elaborate costumes that look straight out of, the prequel trilogy, just amazing. Yeah. Amazing costumes. And I wonder, is every cruise like that? Or did we get a little something extra being on the first one?
There was so that initial cruise felt like it was almost 100% guests in costume. And then I started seeing things, posts on Instagram and stuff in the following weeks that was a little less so. But I think now it's gotten to the point where you had the window of super Star Wars nerds like us who went on the very first one. And then you had that couple weeks of just people who are kind of into Disney, kind of into Star Wars, and wealthy enough to just do that on a whim. And then I think it's come down to it's the Venn diagram of, people who can afford this obviously very premium experience. It was a, huge privilege to go, but then also are enough of a Star Wars nerd to care. And so that feels like the quadrant it's lived in since then. And so I feel like the people are pretty costumed. People are decently into it. I don't think anything is ever going to match that initial cruise where everyone was like 100% invested in it, because we all like booked this cruise kind of sight unseen.
Yeah. And like, yeah, there's going to be less people. But again, I think if you lean into the interactions, that's going to be okay. Like,
yeah,
the less people, you have more interactions.
So what Disney has taken to doing is kind of, they canceled a few dates to condense things to keep the cruise at the correct capacity. So I don't think you're ever going to be on a nearly empty Star Cruise. You might get your date moved around if they couldn't book things. But they're starting to do promos and stuff now. There was a pass holder discount that Andrea let us know about.
Oh.
And you didn't go.
Well, I let my keen listeners to the podcast will know that I let my annual pass expire, which is a horrible thing. I've lost part of my personhood. I don't know who I am anymore.
And here I was thinking about how I could get my annual pass back so I could go with you again.
Well, it was a pretty pained decision. And then almost immediately after, Disney was like, and we're going to start selling them again. And I was like, wow, I just made this like really difficult decision, sort of on the basis of, I don't know if I'll be able to buy this again in the future when I want one. And they were like, oh, we made that really easy for you. So I'm just like, you know, next time we're going to start planning multiple trips, then I'll re-up.
That's fair.
If I need to. But yeah, it just didn't make sense right now with where we're at, like wanting to buy a house and stuff to like.
Well, and you've been going to Disneyland as well, right?
Yeah. So I do have, listeners know, I'm planning to do the half marathon at Disneyland. It'll be the first one back from COVID. I'm training to run it and looking forward to that. And then we want to do a Disney cruise at some point. And we'd like to do that on the one that has it's the Disney Dream.
Buy your cocktail to go to Skywalker Ranch.
No, I will not be buying a $5,000 cocktail.
Hey, man, it's the only way to get into Skywalker Ranch. Trust me, I've looked.
No, I watched a movie about breaking in. It's not that hard.
Fanboys.
It's a great movie. You should watch it. What if it sucks? Okay. Guys,
thanks, Hiccup.
Guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode. Please make sure to leave us a rating and a review if you made it all the way to the end of this. Wow. Thank you so much.
You really love Star Wars.
You really enjoyed this episode, so I think you should leave us 5 stars and a quick review to let other people find out about the podcast. Brayden, Peter, thank you so much for being my guests. I know this was a long chunk of your evening broken out, so thank you for coming on.
No problem. Happy to be here.
May the Force be with you always.
Yeah, may the Force be with you, and we'll see you next week on Mountains and Monorails.
For the Empire.